It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 10th day of November 2022. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. All time zones in between and the great globe around and whatever time it is when you're listening to the podcast. So thank you for listening to the podcast. Thank you for listening live. Thank you for being part of an extraordinary little broadcast community. This is for so much more than some show or some politics as entertainment. This is about as real a conversation as you can get and still be more than, you know, just one person running her mouth. I, the one person running her mouth, however, am Robin. Most of you know that, but new people wander by from time to time. I even ran across somebody who didn't know about the last couple of years, and that was interesting. It is Thorn in the Side Thursday, and God knows we've got plenty of material to fill that, I don't know, that existential space, and I'll do my best to, and you too, to make sure that we get to as much of it as humanly possible. In the course of the coming 3 hours. Quick update. The New River Gorge is still on fire. They've got it down to a couple of hundred acres. There have been no massive property losses. I found out it came from, it started down at an area of the gorge called Tay's Landing and had something to do with the rail line that runs through there. And it still smells a mite smoky outside. I did see it last night. I had to run errands after the program, and on the way back, as I came across the New River Gorge Bridge, holy mackerel. Literally fire on the mountain. And I didn't know if I'd been, and so I immediately came home and fired up both the Grateful Dead version and the Marshall Tucker Band version. There were massive gouts of flame shooting into the night sky along the side of the gorge. The thing there's all kinds of infrastructure and stuff. We've managed not to lose power, so counting that as a win. But, of course, I get ahead of myself because every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So we say thank you to our 10th day of the month subscribers. And that means thanks to Paul from Parts Unknown and Daniel. Thanks to Joe. Thank you so kindly. Thanks all for being partial sponsors of the program and helping to keep this program on the air. Oh, let's see. Where did... So we're right around $800 in terms of the fundraising goal. And it would be great to get caught up because, again, the bills, they are awaiting that keep this program on the air. So, again, thank you for being PayPal, Patreon subscribers. We need more of those. We have a doubling opportunity every month courtesy of our pal Zed, who doubles new subscribers first month, $10 subscription, up to 5 new subscribers. And we haven't had any new subscribers in a while. It would be great. It would be really, really great. But however it is, we get that $800 number. That's what we're dealing with. So, like I said, it is Thorn in the Side Thursday. And we start with, what else, a dimwit Domitian meltdown. He, of course, went to his failing, flagging social media platform. Truth Social. Who branded that? Who was the dum-dum? Well, as we talked yesterday about the fact that flinging ketchup at the wall, it don't bother me at all. Grinding Adderall and watching that. Yeah, you know. So today, completely freaking lost it. There's a fake story being promulgated by third-rate reporter Maggie Hageman. See what he did there? Of the failing New York Times, and I'm blaming our great former First Lady Melanoma and Sean Hannity that I was angry with their pushing me to endorse Dr. Oz. First of all, Oz is a wonderful guy who really worked hard and was a very good candidate and lived in New Jersey. No, I added that part. But he was long in the race before I ever endorsed him. They had nothing to do with it. He's not a denier. His mistake. I was not at all angry. Fake news. I fooled him with the strawberries. But he wasn't done. I'd like to apologize to Melanoma and Sean Hannity for all the fake news and fictional stories made up out of thin air with no sources, despite them claiming there are. Sir, there's a mole. Being dumped on you by reporters and news organizations who know these stories are not true. More ketchup! The fake news media is crazed and totally out of control. I only wish the public could understand how really corrupt and crooked they are. They make up stories and then push them down your throats. Our country is in big trouble. He went on and on and on. I don't know. Maybe this was happening while they were running around looking for the blowgun for the Thorazine darts. Despite having picked so many winners, I have to put up with the fake news. For me, Fox News was always gone, even in 2015-16 when I began my journey. But now they're really gone. Such an opportunity for another media outlet to make an absolute fortune and do good for America. Let's see what happens. I mean, Wow. But he still wasn't done. For those many people that are being fed the fake narrative from the corrupt media, I'm angry, capital A angry, about the capital M midterms. Don't believe it. I'm not at all angry. I did a great job. I wasn't the one running. I'm very busy looking into the future. Remember, I am a stable genius. He said that unironically. You know, he's in Florida. And we had an eyewitness firsthand account in yesterday's program from our dear friend Scary Jerry of what it's like to be what's called Baker acted in Florida. No questions asked. They just come and they pick you up and they take you and they take you to a nice, healthy mental health facility and they check your calendar. This is a thing that needs to happen with the occupant of Mag-a-Loco. And then he went on to bark and grunt about Arizona and Nevada.
Clark County, Nevada has a corrupt voting system. Be careful, Adam. As do many places in our soon-to-be third-world country, Arizona, even said by the end of the week, they want more time to cheat. Carrie Lake must win.
Holy shit. Is it just me or is it pretty obvious that he is really and sincerely, no kidding, not all right? And I mean, we've known that he wasn't all right for eons, you know, since at least 2015. But he is getting more not all right. It feels like this is some documentable shit, and if somebody only loved him, they would check him out. But I think that's one of the things that nobody really loves him. That's been the whole problem since he was tiny. You know, plus the whole potty trained at gunpoint thing, and yeah. But I also had a note from Darlene in Connecticut saying, this is a start. I think Hillary's asking for at least $1 million plus reimbursement in attorney's fees she paid for having to defend against this frivolous and vexatious suit he filed. He's losing some more again. Sanctions entered by a judge against some nitwit Nero pettifoggers in a lawsuit in Florida. Federal District Court Judge Donald Middlebrooks handing down what are described as harsh sanctions, including counsel for the parking garage, Alina Haba, and Peter Ticton and their associates. $50,000 in sanctions and fees and costs to a defendant that Nitwit Nero named in his bullshit RICO suit against Hillary. And Maggie Hagerman, noting this kind of sanction is why so many Trump advisors and lawyers were distressed about his decision to file a suit against the New York Attorney General in Florida. Sanctions also entered against Michael Madeo, Jamie Allen Sasson, Alina Haba, Madeo and Associates, and the Ticton Law Group. Picton. Isn't that like a graphic novel about a French kid in World War II? I don't know. Over at the Independent, Andrew Feinberg reported, Judge Middlebrooks is all but saying Alina Habba and other lawyers who filed the ridiculous Trump versus Clinton lawsuit should be disbarred. He made specific findings that conduct was willful, not simply negligent, and then cited counsel for the parking garage, the things that she ran her mouth about to, the Hannity job. And over at the Law and Crime blog, they described it as a brutal takedown. Of the shotgun lawsuit. And, oh, this is fun. Performative litigation. And so far, it's resolution of only one of the sanctions motions. Of particular interest, Section C of the sanctions ruling. The judge wrote, not just initiated by a shotgun pleading, this was a shotgun lawsuit. 31 individuals and organizations were summoned to court, forced to hire lawyers to defend against frivolous claims. The only common thread against them was Mr. Trump's animus. Plaintiff deliberately misrepresented public documents by selectively using some portions while omitting other information, including findings and conclusions that contradicted his narrative. This occurred with the Danchenko indictment, the Department of Justice Inspector General's report for Operation Hurricane, and the Mueller report. It was too frequent to be accidental. Every claim was frivolous, most barred by settled, well-established existing law. These were political grievances masquerading as legal claims. This cannot be attributed to incompetent lawyering. It was a deliberate use of the judicial system to pursue a political agenda. It sounds like he's writing the judge here under Rule 11, which provides for harsh sanctions against lawyers who plead in bad faith. The judge continuing, but the courts are not intended for performative litigation for purposes of fundraising and political statements. It is harmful to the rule of law, portrays judges as partisans, and diverts resources that should be directed to real harms and legitimate legal claims. The judiciary should not countenance this behavior, and it should be deterred by significant sanctions. And so the judge is just barely getting started with, as Darlene noted, I think Hillary's asking for at least $1 million reimbursement in attorney's fees she paid for having to defend against this bullshit lawsuit. So he's losing again. No wonder he's throwing a fit. Yeah, Matt in San Francisco says so. Crazy. Oh, Robin, rich people can't be crazy. They're eccentric. Yes, the eccentric, broke-ass Manhattan high-rise hillbilly. And thank you, Ralphs. There's a $25 challenge on the table. It's the Kayla, please don't pull down my window shades, $25 challenge. She keeps wanting to mess with my window shades. Oh, Lord. Yeah, it kind of... The kitties found where we keep the TP. And they decided that it was a big stack of cat toys. I get it. They have cat toys, you know. But no. So thank you, Ralphs. That would get us down to $750 if the challenge is met. That's really helpful. And thanks to everybody who's been jumping in all along. Ron and Raleigh with a note for this Thorn in the Side Thursday. I am gobsmacked. Just when I thought she couldn't get any loonier, Candy Owens has gone completely round the bend. Is it just me, or does Candace look really dead behind the eyes? Yeah, I mean, that happens over on the... Because there's no real joy in their lives. Over at Alternet, they detail a recent as in yesterday, Wednesday, episode of the Candy Owens Show, hosted by the Daily Wire. Well, she got all wound up and got going. And the next thing you know, well, noun, verb, Hitler. Because she called on her audience to get their hands on, I presume, a translated copy of Adolf Hitler's 1925 doorstop, Mein Kampf, My Struggle. She did this in the context of defending poor, put-upon, besieged Kyrie Irving, who has, of course, been eagerly spewing a vomitous torrent of anti-Semitism, recommending people see this disgusting film that somehow hasn't been taken down yet. Oh, I'm by censorship. No, if a hosting platform takes it down, and it isn't the government, it's not censorship. But Kyrie Irving is not just anti-Semitic. He's a total package nutball. An anti-vaxxer, a flat earther, a proponent of the paranoia about a new world order. NBA reporter Mark Stein said there's a growing pessimism in various corners of the league that Kyrie Irving will ever play for the Nets again. Yeah, well, none of that really mattered to Candy Girl, who has also been vociferous in her defense of Kanye, I guess his name is The, a rapper formerly known as Kanye West. And Candy Girl has decided that there is a vast conspiracy against Kyrie Irving, because the Anti-Defamation League somehow has their hooks in the NBA. Yeah. Oh, Candy, you know, just start ending your sentence with Haben Gindahat, Haben Geworten sein. And the film, if we can call it that, the anti-Semitic garbage that he's pushing, has been pushing, is something called Hebrews to Negroes, Wake Up Black America. And dude has enough social media oomph that once he started promoting this piece of anti-Semitic trash, it shot to the top spot on Amazon. And to be clear,
Even the Washington Free Beacon says it not only denies the Holocaust, but also claims Jewish people falsified the historical record about it in order to conceal their nature and protect their status and power. And it also says that white people cannot be authentic Jews, a belief that inspired the deadly 2019 shooting at a kosher supermarket in New Jersey. And Candy Owens then said that, well, the thing's popular, so that clears Kyrie Irving, noting, I was right. Last night, hashtag Heroes to Negroes was trending on Twitter. It was a top trend on election night, no less. And everybody under the trend was saying, I'm watching it right now. I'm watching it. Why would they try to take this from us? Why would they try to keep this information from us? And that is what happens when you over-censor information. It was never necessary to attack Kyrie Irving, even if you felt the information in this documentary was bad. And there are plenty of people that have spoken out and said that. The extreme efforts that the ADL went through in coalition with the NBA to punish him, and their efforts to then demand that Amazon take this documentary down, of course, was going to pique people's interest. Not only is the documentary the top documentary on Amazon, but it's also the book, which I didn't know they had a book. Well, Candy, some people have books, is now a bestseller on Amazon's list. If you go to Amazon bestsellers, you'll see Heroes to Negroes. It was one of the best-selling books. And then proceeded to somehow threaten Amazon. Candy, honey, Jeff Bezos has spaceship money. And what I like about this story is, because you know how I feel about free speech, I think people have a right to be wrong. I think people have a right to take in information. I think people have a right to read whatever they want. You know, as long as it's not something about something that would make a marginalized kid in a high school feel a little bit less alone in the world. But, oh, no. And then, you know, now she said, a little reminder. If you actually go on Amazon right now, you can order and read Mein Kampf. It's not an endorsement of Adolf Hitler to read a historical textbook. It's just not, right? And the idea that we should be censoring all this information and no one should see it because it hurts some group of people. The Jews. There you go, Brother Deacon Asa. Enjoy. Well, they're not some group of people. Well, to me, it just does not gel well with our First Amendment rights. Amazon, still not in trouble. Don't know how Kyrie Irving's entire life is on the line. But nobody's talking about Amazon, but they're making a ton of money. So Kyrie Irving's losing more money, and Amazon is making tons of money. Think about that for a second. You know what I'm thinking about right now? I'm thinking about the fact that Kyrie Irving still has an NBA career, even though he's a sickening anti-Semite, an anti-vaxxer, and, well, generally a horrible human being, and Colin Kaepernick, whose only sin was taking a knee during the national anthem in the name of trying to stop cops from, or protesting cops blowing away defenseless black men, somehow, I'm thinking about that for a second. But all this has to be taken in context with the fact that Candy Girl is, well, she's got her own history of Hitler fangirling. You might recall a few years back, she caught some grief. Deservedly so, when she said that Mr. Hitler was that Mr. Hitler shades of Charles Lindbergh, that Mr. Hitler would have been a pretty good leader if he would have just kept his nationalism inside German borders. I don't know how you make that statement without tacitly denying the existence of the Holocaust. But Candy Girl's married to a gazillionaire, and something tells me she's not gonna be canceled. It's hard to cancel the money. Clarence with a note says, Owens, if she's so concerned about free speech, she should be raising holy hell about all the school districts across the country banning books. Miss Owens is full of crap. That she is. Yeah, precisely, Stephen, New York. Candio. So it's the Jews who are controlling the NBA? That is apparently the upshot. And, of course, the Hebrews to Negroes the thing, and, you know, there's no Jew. Remember, the rapper formerly known as Kanye West, the part of his rant on Twitter was that black people are the real Jews anyhows. You know, the take a number. There was that entire spasm in the 18th and 19th century in North America in which people argued that indigenous people of the Western Hemisphere were actually the lost tribes of Israel. The fetishization has been strong for a long time. Randy Radar wants to know, has Scary Jerry been sprung yet? I do not know. I have not heard anything. So, Scary Jerry, if you're listening and you're sprung, let us know. Lee in New York says, how Candio should be ending sentences. Candio, that was a chart-topping album by the Cars, wasn't it? How Candio should be ending sentences. Ms. Owen should quote Sergeant Schultz. I know nothing. I see nothing. I hear nothing. Signed Lee in New York City via Stalag 13. Adding, Lee did, Jeff Bezos has spaceship money until he tries to politicize social media. And as to information, you know, Candio blathering about information. So, the learned protocols of the protocols of the learned elders of Zion is information. The Klan provides information. The Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command Headquarters Executive Staff provides information. Yeah. That's about the size of it. And speaking of neo-Nazis, yesterday, a U.S. District Court judge in Montanistan issued a bench warrant for Andrew Anglin. Because back in September, the court entered an order saying that he had 30 days to comply with requests for documents showing his whereabouts and income and assets, and that failure to do so would result in a bench warrant. So Judge Dana Christensen has issued an order commanding the U.S. Marshal and any authorized United States officer to arrest Andrew Anglin and bring him to court in Missoula. Andrew Anglin is a neo-Nazi, and he is he's a maggot. There are photographs of him wearing his stupid MAGA hat. And he attacked a woman from Whitefish, Montana, and her family with an anti-Semitic troll storm. Nazis. Tanya Gersh is the woman in Whitefish, Montana. She's represented by a lawyer by the name of John Morrison. And Morrison said, Andrew Anglin has evaded the court's jurisdiction and ignored the court's orders for months and years, and it became necessary for the court to issue a warrant for his arrest. And we intend to see that warrant is executed and enforced to the full extent of the law. Anglin is the publisher of something called the Daily Stormer. It's a Nazi shit site. And he, back in 2017, urged the people who read the Daily Storm to harass Tanya Gersh and her family, and he doxed her. And the thing is, the Daily Stormer is, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center, arguably the most influential neo-Nazi website in America during the latter half of the 2010s. And the false allegation that Anglin made was that Gersh had tried to squeeze money out of the mother of Richard Spencer. God, it's so long ago now. Remember January the 20th, 2017? And that now, well, there's never a bad time to watch it, but remember when Richard Spencer got Nazi punched while the world watched on? He was in D.C.? Well, following their leader's orders, people absolutely deluged Tanya Gersh with the kind of disgusting troll filth that Nazis use. They threatened her. They threatened her family. The judge in the case called the conduct atrocious. And so he entered judgment. Default judgment against Andrew Anglin, because Anglin never showed up to court, and ordered $10 million in punitive damages against him and $4 million in compensatory damages. And then Andrew Anglin just disappeared. And he's got other judgments against him, a $4.1 million judgment from a Muslim American radio host whom he falsely accused of terrorism. And nobody really knows where he is. But it's going to be kind of difficult for him to raise his head now. Wow. Matt in San Francisco, the Jews. So is it just one Jew or a group of Jews that are controlling everything? Must be a group, and they must have a lot of meetings in order to all stay on the same page. Maybe we could find out where they meet and crash the party. That's as far as I can get without my head starting to hurt. I know. You've got to be able to internalize massive amounts of stupidity and hate. And that generally doesn't, that generally just doesn't, it's not good for you. It's actually harmful. But this is that America. I told you I had to run some errands last night after the program. And they run, West Virginia Public Radio runs Terry Gross's interview program, like at 8 o'clock. And I heard her interview with Steven Spielberg, because he's got a very well-received sort of fictionalized biopic or autobiopic called The Fablemans out. Fableman, Spielberg, Spiel in German is play. Fable, story, play. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it's getting really good reviews. But along the way, she being Terry Gross, asked Steven Spielberg what his feeling was about the wave, the sickening tidal wave of anti-Semitic filth that is flowing all over the country today. And he said he doesn't pay any attention to it, but that he finds it heartbreaking and sad, and never thought that he would see the day that this America would be, you know, America. Let's see here. Just looking around for what comes next. Andy the Angry Jew. The Jews and how to find them. Look for large orders of chicken livers and you'll find them. That's where they meet. Chopped liver. Schmaltz. Yeah. And providing a little bit of detail. Lee in New York says, it's the Jews. They can't do anything unless they have a minion. That's 10 Jews. Doing the Jewish ciphering for you, Lee, in New York. So does that mean that the joke, 10 Jews walk into a bar? No. That word, yes, a minion. Randy Radar noting, you can't disappear in the U.S. anymore. It's theoretically possible that the authorities can track you down on something as simple as an algorithmic hash on your grocery buying habits. Well, they have apparently not made that order, made that effort with Andrew Anglin yet. It would be nice if they would. Oh, and a little something-something from yesterday. The judicial vandalism continues. Perpetrated by, well... Now, a case was heard yesterday in the Supreme Court of the United States. The title of the case is Brekeen versus Holland, and it's one of those cases where, you know, some gang of right-wing pettifoggers dragged $100 bill around until they found someone to be aggrieved about something. In this case, this latest effort is to destroy. And remember, old Stevie Three shirts, the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells. Steve Bannon, remember him talking about deconstructing the administrative state? Well, within the administrative state, there is, of course, the Bureau of Indian Affairs. And 44 years ago, the federal government passed a bill called the Indian Welfare Act. And the Indian Welfare Act, in turn, states that indigenous children in custody proceedings should, wherever and whenever possible, be placed with indigenous families. Imagine that. A right-wing pettifogging tax-exempt troll group wants to overturn the Indian Child Welfare Act. And the vehicle is Brekeen versus Holland, Deb Holland, the Secretary of Interior and first Indigenous Secretary of Interior. So with the diktat of pubes on the Coke can, Clarence Fappy Thomas, to guide them, well, this group of originalists are complaining that the entire structure by which the United States government seeks to safeguard indigenous rights is unconstitutional. Our most puissant dread sovereign supreme Catholic majesties are willing to hang their hats on, in the name of originalism, on history that isn't even real history. I mean, we're talking about stuff that goes all the way back to the Articles of Confederation. And so, in the Constitution that replaced the Articles of Confederation, authority over indigenous affairs were ceded strictly to the new federal government. The federal government, of course, having the power to make treaties broadly that reserved unto the federal government so that, say, for instance, South Carolina Stan can't go out and make a treaty with France. Only the United States can do that, and the indigenous groups are sovereign entities in their own right. And the Constitution says that the federal government can regulate commerce with Indian tribes. It's the Indian Commerce Clause in the Constitution. And going all the way back, the southern states, see where the trouble comes from? The southern states didn't like that. They wanted to steal Indian lands on their own. Georgia tried to legislate away tribal governments. And along the way, the Supreme Court struck down such efforts. And there was a lot of deviltry and evil that went into all of this. And we come up to the present era, where the Indian Child Welfare Act tried to intervene on the in cases where, because this is a long, this is a long and filthy history that we share with our friends to the north in Canoodlia. Where groups of white people tried to steal indigenous children and whiten them up a good bit. You know, punish them for speaking their native tongue, send them to schools. We know about the horrors of the Roman Catholic Indian School. Stand by, please. All better now. Well, the Indian Child Welfare Act tried to some degree or another to remedy that and keep white groups from stealing Indian children. Because in many states, Indian children were put in the foster care system at much higher rates than non-Indigenous kids. And they were almost exclusively placed in non-Indigenous homes. Well, all of this is before the court now. I mean, this is and so in 2007, a law professor from the University of Montana, a guy named Robert Natelson, published an article in the Denver Law Review whose title was, oh my God, get the hockey puck, The Originalist Understanding of the Indian Commerce Clause. Naturally, Robert Natelson is a former right-wing talk radio dude. Six years later, Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Fappy Thomas decided that Professor Robert Natelson was right and that commerce within the Indian Commerce Clause means more than trade with Indian tribes, but rather means that the federal government can that it's nothing more than trade, you know, barrels of flour and tobacco and whatnot. And so the case arises out of where else? Texas. Sorry, sneezing. And some mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing right-wing freak in Texas with, I'm sure, a tax-exempt non-profit pettifogging outfit behind him sued. And they want to overturn a couple of hundred years of established law. Well, the case went up, made it through the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. Opposing counsel completely deconstructed Natelson, described it as deeply flawed, marred by inaccurate versions of sources and unsupported assertions, directly at odds with the explicit founding era evidence. This caused Natelson to have a hissy and accuse Oblavsky of writing a shyster-like brief. Really, shyster? And, you know, there's nothing nastier than a couple of lawyers taking things personally. And so when our six most puissant dread sovereign supreme Catholic majesties get together to put their majority together on this, the Fappy Thomas will have a hand in it. And it is not unthinkable that little Indigenous children will be allowed by this gang of punks and Well, remember, a great deal of the harm caused to indigenous children was caused by Holy Mother Church. And our Supreme Catholic Majesties may try to manifest their umbrage at the church having been called out for what it did to children. And, of course, the people paying the bill will be little indigenous kids. Because this Supreme Court doesn't care who it hurts, as long as it makes right-wing donor groups happy. Happy. Yeah. Lady B sending an article along about the Warnock-Walker runoff. Black Georgia voters say Walker-Warnock runoff leaves the burden on them to save the Senate again. Aaron Jones, 47, an auto body repair supervisor in Atlanta, said, "This is disappointing because one candidate is a qualified senator. The other's Herschel Walker." And I was wondering, I was thinking about that. And I wondered if that vibe is running through Georgia again. It has to be exhausting. And I hate that we're already going to have Jerk Deluxe, the fake hillbilly, you know, Senator Kiss-Ass. How hilarious. In the early 1960s, with Dr. Strangelove, we got Ambassador Kiss-Off. But that was just a movie. That was fiction. But in 2023, a person will stick their hand in the air and swear an oath. And for 6 years, we will be saddled with Senator Kiss-Ass. Truth, as they say, is stranger than fiction. Seeing's House, the top of the hour. $25 challenge on the table, courtesy of Ralph's. The Kayla leave my blinds alone challenge.
Meow.
That would get us down to $750 to go fundraising wise. Hopefully it'll be met. But we'll run over to the stress line and see who we've got. Hey, welcome to the program.
So just to recap.
Hi, darling.
Yeah, so just to recap from our conversation on Monday.
Yeah.
Phew, okay, so
you too, a little bit,
yeah, I mean, you know, I was just going to go to bed and wake up to the bad news the next morning, but I just got sucked in and started watching, his name is Brian Tyler Cohen, I think. He's constantly putting, he's a nice kid, he's constantly putting stuff up on YouTube. Throughout the day. So he was following, Kornacki? Is that his name? The election results guru,
right,
there,
yeah.
That's always running around.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was streaming him and, coming up with things. I mean, you know, I could have sworn multiple times. You know, I was bouncing back and forth between him and, Mary Trump, at her Nerd Avengers show. And I could have sworn that Lauren Boebert was a, you know, was a say sayonara, you know. But
no.
Last I looked, several hours ago, she's just barely ahead. You know, so that's another bad penny that keeps turning up. In terms of what Lady B had sent you or just written in, and you were just talking about Warnock and Walker runoff. I saw a quick headline. I didn't look at it, but Kate Bedingfield, who I'm not a fan of, but I think she's like the main PR person there for Joe Biden, I think has quite a bit of control there at the White House. Basically, I caught a headline where she said, you know, whatever whatever Warnock needs, he's going to get. So it's going to be interesting to see how much money both sides pump into Georgia for December 6th, which just seems ridiculous that it's taking that long. But so, you know, they're in full-on campaign mode, you know, or continuing that in Georgia. And, you know, there are a lot of, you know, I don't want to say there's, well, no, there's quite a few. Or at least the way the corporate media is planting it. There's a lot of black voters in Georgia that are supporting Walker. And, you know, people that knew him.
I mean, wow. I mean, does that just stop you in your tracks?
Yeah. Yeah, just a little, you know. And again, maybe it's, again, the corporate media playing games with us. But there are a lot of people that went to school with this asshole, and so there's nostalgia for that. He was a great guy when I went to, you know, freaking grammar school with him. You know, bullshit like that. When you have a classy, tremendous orator like Raphael Warnock, and then you have this bumbling dope with the fake freaking police badges, and, you know, Mr., you know, kill him, you know, Mr. Abortionist there.
Yeah, who's involved, by the way, in indentured servitude. Who is involved in indentured servitude. That somehow or another, that didn't quite get the legs that it needed.
Well, and this is where I'm all in on the nonstop campaign mode for 2024. At this point, Democrats must ride this. They have to ride this, you know, this amazing thing that happened. And when, you know, look, we could still lose the Senate too. But I'll tell you something. Boy, is it messing with it's messing with the right wing's heads big time. And I'm so happy to see it. You know, all of the excuses coming out, and now Fox News, like, you know, Farrar Ingram there, she's now, questioning, they're all questioning over at Fox News, what did Trump do with the money? They're starting to turn on each other and eat each other alive, and boy, am I just not enjoying it a little. I'm enjoying it a lot.
Well, I love that phrase. I love that phrase from Joe Scarborough. It's a Schadenfreude bubble bath.
Well, you know, I did have a question because, you know, you watch, they are your filthy morning habit, as you said. And, but I was watching some things on YouTube today where Joe and two other dudes, that are regularly on the show, were, they were almost like, well, you know, how could they be saying that, you know, the midterms are going to be a red. How could they be saying that, you know, it always goes to the opposite party, the party that's not in office, that there's always a shellacking, you know? You just never know. And then all those polls that came out that were just, you know, bullshit polls that, you know, and I'm thinking, weren't they part of that? Wasn't your filthy morning habit kind of part of that? Stuff like, you know, it's going to be a shellacking, you know, to borrow from President Obama, you know, that you know, weren't they viewing those now? I guess we're coming to find out that the polls were bull, that they were fake polls, trumped up for Republicans. So I'm pissed off. I'm still angry that I was toyed with for months and months and months by the media, whether it was on, you know, whether it was my Apple News stream, the Washington Post, whatever. You know, and, you know, President Biden, who I still think I have not yet heard him publicly, you know, loudly thank President Obama, because I think President Obama was critical to what happened on Tuesday. But, you know, he kept saying over and over, well, you know, I can't believe the polls. I don't trust the polls. You know, but then again, well, the polls are saying that we're my progress are the most popular. So he's doing it too. You know, he's using the polls to his advantage as well. But they're all kind of coping here without really doing that. You know, that little sucker Carlson is still doing his thing where, you know, he asks the questions, you know. He's just posing the questions, but he hasn't gone all anti-Trump yet. But boy, are their heads are exploding, and it's great. And I think we have to enjoy that, and I think we have to ride this wave as much as possible. And I did write into the White House, you know, through their comment line on the whitehouse.gov to Biden, and I'm sure, you know, he won't look at it, but maybe some lower echelon person will look at it. But then, you know, he and Democrats are not off the hook, you know. The DNC fucked up. The DNC, I don't know if the DCCC can also be, you know, they didn't pump enough money into Tim Ryan. He was bitching and moaning about that.
Well, I mean, it's not that they didn't pump enough money. They just ignored. They largely just hung him out to dry.
Exactly. He was complaining about that on your Filthy Morning Habit a few weeks back. And he was like, you know, he goes, it's all small donations. He said, I'm not getting any help from the Democratic apparatus. He goes, I'm not getting any help. They blew it in Ohio because I think Tim could have taken it. You know, and I'm in no position to talk because I'm nowhere near the Buckeye State and wouldn't want to be. But, you know, Joey there, he might be. You know, he might have some insight. I assume he was trying to help out Tim Ryan as much as possible. So I'm sure he would have some more on the ground factual things to share. But they're not off the hook. They need to continue. They need to learn from this and continue doing what they were doing. What Gavin Newsom started. What. You know, when he was going after DeSantis, what President Biden was doing when he called them semi-fascists on the Republican side. You know, when they called out the Republicans over their PPP loan forgiveness, which was just perfect when they did that. They shamed them, and you never heard a peep from those assholes. And when you were talking to Scary Jerry last night about, I think it was during that, you were playing Marjorie Trader Gangrene's little comments about how, you know, Trump, how the pandemic, like she's blaming Biden about the pandemic, and we're going to, you know, pay him back because he shut everything down, even though it occurred during the Trump administration. You know, you forgot to remind us that she benefited from the pandemic. Her family, she got, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in PPP loans forgiven. So it's just ironic. It's just, you know, rich. But here she's talking about it, you know, how everything went down. Well, you danced right straight to the bank on it. They need to stop saying Republicans are their friends. I don't even give a fuck if they are. Chris Coons, he should shut his fucking mouth. Dick Durbin, even Biden. No more. You know, if they want to say, well, we're working across the aisle, fine. But stop saying they're your friend. Because according to Hakeem Jeffries, that's a bunch of bullshit. Because when he was stumping over and wherever he was trying to help out candidates during the primaries, I think it was, he was saying, remember how, you know how they're all saying there, you know, we have our colleagues here in both houses saying Republicans are our friends. He goes, let me tell you something. He goes, that is not the truth. So they need to start talking like it's not the truth. So Biden needs to start calling out the corporate media, the fourth estate. He needs to start saying, look, because they're admitting to it now. They're all saying it now. But nobody's saying what you talked about. But with suppression. I put that in my note to the White House. I was despondent. I was like, what's the point? You know, really, I was like, you know, I know I'm going to do my duty. I know I'm going to do my civic duty. I'm going to vote. But I'll tell you something. I was depressed as fuck, and I'm like, what's the point? They're going to take it all. Because I had that barreled into my brain, that propaganda barreled into my brain for months and months and months.
You know, I'm glad that you recognize that. It's a form of voter suppression.
Oh, absolutely. And the only reason is because I'm highly educated. I do have some brains in me. I consider myself somewhat smart. I've been listening to your program
for years. All of these things? Yes.
You know? But what about people that aren't, you know, like my friend's daughter, who are just apathetic, and they're young people, you know, they need to make it more exciting. You know, Bernie, he's an old dude, right? But the kids love him. You know, he gets out the young people. They need to utilize him. They need to keep Obama on the fucking stump. They really and truly do. They need to keep him out there. The other thing, you know, this is the world according to Darlene, because she knows it all, right? Here I am, you know, Sunday Night Quarterback.
Testify.
Well, I also put this in my comment to Joe. I said, hey, you need to stop the PR hole around Kamala. Knock it off. Because she is doing a lot, but you don't hear about it.
You know, okay? I was reflecting on that the other day. You know, I remember during the Obama presidency, you know, it was like a buddy road picture with him and, you know, him and Joe out there doing stuff. And, you know, there were even, you know, gag videos put out. And it's like, where is Kamala? I mean, it feels like she's been sort of disappeared about. I don't think there's been a vice president who's been more disappeared since John Adams under George Washington. I mean,
exactly.
The messaging.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, the messaging is just a vacuum.
Exactly. Now, if you look deep enough on C-SPAN. She's on CISA. They put her up there quite a bit. You know, she's here. She's traveling to this place. She's traveling over here. She's going to this country. She's really moving around the country, but there's no, you know, regular mainstream press about her efforts. She was all over the fucking nation, talking about the overturning of Roe, about the Dobbs decision. You know, she had a huge crowd. Here with Johanna Hayes. It was kind of nice because it was all black women up on the stage. Okay. Johanna, Kamala, there's another lady. And they were at Central Connecticut State University. And Kamala was just, she was dynamite. She was like, you know, she ended off the conversation, you know, with saying, look, don't make no mistake. This is about women's sexuality. This is about a hatred of women, female sexuality, women's sexuality. You know, she ended off with that. I mean, this woman can see, she's brilliant. And you have to ultimately the buck stops with Joe, because I don't trust Kate Bedingfield.
Excuse me.
I think she's a big part of the problem because, bless you, or Gunsundheit or whatever. I think she's a big part of the problem because I read some articles where the Kamala's people they can't do shit without running it through, Joe's PR roadblocks.
Right.
So There are hurdles she's trying to overcome within the White House. But Joe can turn around and say to Kate and others, no. She needs to be more front and center because she speaks. I mean, look, she and Doug, they're a hip couple. I mean, they are. They're a young couple, relatively young. They have a blended family. I mean, Kamala gets along great with his ex-wife and vice versa. You know, their daughter, Ella, Kamala's stepdaughter, Ella, who, she's in the fashion industry. So there's a lot of young people circulating from that young generation in their lives. The poor kid is in, she's in therapy. But she's living a dream, and she's often shown, you'll see her, and she sported a mullet, and she really has her, she's well-liked in her posts and Instagram posts and stuff like that. But when you have young people looking at Joe and Jill, they're the old, it's grandma and grandpa again. Even though they're good, they know how to elevate youth. They get it. Jill's really good at that, like with the poetry, slams and things like that. But visually, Kamala and Doug are more, they're younger, and they're more hip. And I'm probably using a really bad word. The kids are, they slay. Okay, that's what my niece would say. in high school, they slay. So it's like, to not utilize that is a big mistake. And I think they better rethink things because.
I would like to add that, just as you and I have said, we were glad to be wrong about Joe. And the fact that he's the most progressive president since Roosevelt. He's done a cut. There have been a couple of policy initiatives that have been decidedly pro-youth. And I think they need to message on those harder.
Oh, that's the other thing. Absolutely. No, they need to ride this. Like, they need to squeeze this for everything it's worth. And they need to pull a Nancy. If the Republicans take the House, okay, nothing's going to get done, okay? And if we can maintain our hold, if we can at least get the Senate, okay, we've got a firewall, but nothing's going to get done. So, like what Nancy did during the Trump administration, right, the Trump autocratic regime, what was it, over 400 bills? Like you say, the bills died in a bloody pool on Mitch McConnell's desk. But every freaking week, Nancy was getting out there on her weekly pressers and talking about everything that they were doing. This bill. That's what Joe has to do. It's going to have to come from him. And with backup from... whoever the Democratic minority leader is in the House, if it winds up being that way. I don't know what Nancy's going to do. But they need to keep saying, this is what we're promoting. This is what we want to pass for you. And guess what McCarthy is doing? It won't even get out of the House. This is what we're trying to do. And just keep going. Keep calling them the fascists that they are and not let up. I'm okay if it's in, if we're in 2024 mode with this, because we need to really capitalize. Now, I guess there is a path. Vox just did an article. I didn't have a chance to read it because I called you, but apparently there is a path potentially to taking the House for Democrats, but I think what they're nine votes away, they're nine people away from the 218 last I checked. So we had a clean sweep in Connecticut, which was great. Jahana beat George Logan by a little over 1,000 votes. It was extremely close. And
yeah, that's a nail biter.
And so because it's over 1,000 votes, there will not be a recount. So she's in, and we have a clean sweep here in Connecticut. And, of course, they're trying to save a red wave in New York. But we know the Democrats in New York, I guess, pretty much shot themselves in the foot on that with the gerrymandering stuff. So hopefully they'll be able to correct that somehow before 2024. But there's still a lot of work to be done. And, I think that Bernie is doing some good things. Like, he's on YouTube a lot, Facebook a lot. I think they really need to utilize him because the young people really like him. And even people, because he's been around so long, even people that are in our age range and that are Republican light, they remember him coming to their colleges. They remember him coming to the colleges. You know, when he was much younger and they were in college and trying to galvanize youth and young people. And they like that. You can get, really, he could potentially get Republican lights to flip. So I don't think they should rest on their laurels. I'm all for it being 2024, campaign season. Now, they did ask, the press was being really nice to Joe yesterday.
Yeah, it was. I noticed that, too. I'm glad to hear you say that. That press conference did not strike me as contentious.
No. They were almost like, almost in awe. Because,
dark
part
Brandon.
Of the corporate media, they're brainwashed, too.
Yeah, dark Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want the fire to shoot out of his
Absolutely.
Eyes.
They need to keep playing that up, too. But they asked him. And they said, what do you think if Trump announces, that he wants to run? And he just started laughing. And he basically said, he just kind of muttered it. I think it was one of the last questions. It's going to be great to see them beating the hell out of each other, Trump and DeSantis. Oh, he's good. He's loving it. He's going to get a kick out of that.
Well, and one of the side effects of that, and I don't even know, Darlene, if we talked about this earlier, but there was polling data out there a couple of months back because, somebody's polling something all the time. But the polling data showed that if Liz Cheney was to enter the race, it would cause Joe Biden to lose re-election. And I don't know that I agreed with that assessment.
No, here they go again with their bullshit. Okay.
But, I'd like to see her in the mix for the Republican nomination just so she was beating the shit out of both of them because they're both deniers. They're both fascists. And I'd like to mm-hmm. see her out there on the hustings beating the piss out of them.
Yep.
And she would lose. She would lose.
Oh, absolutely.
In the primary, but she would leave them because she's not going to be one of these Jebbia Bush please clap types.
Oh God, no! Oh, she's brutal like her dad. So she's got that, and she would do exactly what she wants to do is to take Trump down. She would completely destroy him, and would take satisfaction from that.
But as long as she's not on the ballot in, let's go ahead and look to 2000. Has anybody said what Election Day 2024 is? Let's just get this out of the way.
Um,
Election Day 2024 is the first Tuesday after the... Oh, help me, Darlene.
The first Tuesday after
the first Monday?
Yes, I think so, because we had there was November 2nd, which I think was a Tuesday this year.
So that would make it November the 4th, 2024?
No, maybe not. Huh? Say that again, I'm sorry. November. Hang on, let me look. Because that's where I was getting thrown off. I was kept thinking it was November, like this election, November 2nd, because I had to do my FCC ballot. I'm like, oh my God, I have a week. where's the calendar? There it is. Okay, so let me just look real quick here. July, August, September, October, November. Election Day is the 7th. Election Day is the 7th. That is the first full week of November 2023.
The Tuesday after the first Monday in November in, okay, so yeah, it'll be the 5th. November the 5th, 2024.
Oh, that's the 23rd. Yeah, I was going on the 23rd. Hang on, sorry.
Yeah, November the 5th.
So, I'm sorry. I was looking at 2023. Okay, I'm really anxious, aren't I? Yeah, that's the 5th. Yeah, that's the 5th. Because yeah, Tuesday. So, this year, November 1 was a Tuesday. So I guess it has to be the first full week of November is the Tuesday that they plunk Election Day on. Does that make sense?
It is the Tuesday after the first Monday in November. That's the constitutional formula.
Yes, yes. So the first Monday in November would be the 4th in 2024. I'm just looking here. I was looking at the wrong, like I said, 2022. I'm scrolling through here on my calendar. So, yeah. So, a couple of good things, I think. Well, first of all, Joe is banking on all the fruits of his big bill coming to fruition beginning next year. And that people are going to start seeing, you know, shovels in the dirt and all that stuff in terms of the infrastructure. Okay. So he's banking on that. The other thing is if you do have the crazies taking the house, there is a theory out there that, you know, let Marjorie Trader Gangrene have a committee chair and let people see just how fucking crazy she is and just how insane these assholes are. And, you know, the Jim Jacket Off Jordans and all of them. But that could also inure to our benefit. The other thing is that if Trump does announce, and that's what I also put in there, you know, Merrick Garland needs to indict Trump, like, fucking now.
Well, I love that one quip that said, oh, he's going to announce on the 15th? Good. Let Merrick Garland announce on the 14th.
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't either,
because it would be just entirely too beautiful and and symmetrical, you know, more of that geometric precision Scott talks about.
And, you know, and I don't know if this was something that Scary Jerry had said or you had said in the conversation with him yesterday, that, you know, and I think it's true. I just don't, maybe I heard it on YouTube today. I don't know. I don't think that DeSantis is going to appeal nationwide. You know, if he wants to run for president, he's just bad fucking news. You know, Florida is a whole different, you know, they're in their own world down there. So, I don't think he would appeal, nationwide, but it would be a slugfest potentially, you know, between him and Trump. And it was predicted today on some of these, it was not Brian Tyler Cullen, it might have been another program, you know, that if DeSantis does in fact get the nomination, because now there are a lot of Republicans saying Trump is bad for the party. They're coming out there. Paul Ryan said it today, you know, Newt Gingrich there, as he's trying to also, you know, figure this shit out. If he becomes the nominee for the Republicans, they're all, you know, the theory is that Trump would be so pissed off and so angry that he would run as a, you know, as a spoiler, just to fuck DeSantis up, because he can't handle being told no and he can't handle losing. So I could totally see that. And we could totally see the Republican Party continue to implode from within, which, you know, again, as you've been saying, let's hope it doesn't hurt too little. So I think those are three promising things. yeah, so they're all saying, like, Paul Ryan, he said he's a drag on the party. Trump is a drag on the party. And now you've got Fox News saying, you know, where did all the money go? He got all this money. Where did the money go in terms of supporting the candidate? And now they're saying, yeah, and even your filthy morning habit, well, you know, I guess McConnell was right. You know, you have to have quality candidates for your job. But this is a nation that we have so many stupid people in it that they can get away with putting up these subpar candidates. But even Mitch thought so. So I don't know. I'm hoping, against all hope, we still have a shot with the House.
While we've been talking, I just checked in for the latest on Clanny Oakley and Frisch. She is up by 0.4%. But they're still counting. They're still counting ballots from an area that leans Democrat. So he might be able to eke that one out.
Let's hope. Fingers crossed.
And MSNBC is showing their count at 221 to 214.
Really? Yeah. For the House.
Yeah, Republicans.
Wait, 221 to 214?
Yeah, GOP 221 to Democrat 214.
Well, then they already took the House, because they said you just need 218.
Right, but
are you sure?
But there's still like 15
possibility.
Yeah.
Okay. There could be a tie.
Yeah, and by the way, just because it's fun to say it, Godzilla from Wasilla in the race and they haven't called it yet, but with 72% in for the entire state of Alaska, one House district, Godzilla from Wasilla is getting thumped 47.3% to 26.6%. And of course, you know she will.
She just needs to go away.
Go dance with a star or something some more. I mean,
she needs to just go the fuck away.
And the thing is, she's so last decade. Well, two decades ago. She's been eclipsed by dumber and crazier, and now, you know, sorry, body issues, prettier idiots. But she'll scream voter fraud. And that's the one thing we've got to take into account is that they are going to keep screaming this shit. I mean, I had a story in the stack yesterday from Marginal Trailer Queen, who is calling everybody losers and saying, and they're blaming Donald Trump, and literally begging Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis not to run. So, yeah.
It looks fucked up. But that's okay, because it's on their side. And DeKlantis, he's going to run. He's ambitious. He's really ambitious.
And I think that that's... I think that that's... Again, cause for us to sit back and just say, no, please, let's you and him fight.
Well, the other thing, too, and you know, Scary Jared brought this up about Val Demings and her annoying voice and all that stuff. I don't necessarily agree with that, but they are saying that they picked, you know, the Dems fucked up in Florida because they put a former Republican, was it Rick Scott? Is that his name? I can't remember. I'm getting the Scott mixed up here. Charlie Crist.
Yeah, and he, and as Steve in New York pointed out, he needs to just not run for things now. He needs to go into his political retirement. I mean, it's...
And Val used to be a police officer. Now, I've always thought she seemed progressive to me, but maybe she isn't. I don't know. I was always troubled by her campaign. I mean, she started running her campaign a long time ago. I think she's an asset in the House. I really do. But it almost seemed like she was begging, like, please, 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 give me, please, please donate to my campaign. Please, I'm desperate. But the theory now that they're throwing out is don't do these right of center candidates. Give a, you know, in Florida, run very progressive candidates. Let me start contrast. Have people who are going to really define things very differently and are actually opposite, not like, you know, Republican light. So I don't know if that would work in Florida.
You raise an interesting anyone? Point, Darlene, because I had a note from Kim in New York City. Serious question, Tim Ryan. Why do you think the DCCC Dem apparatus ignored or neglected Tim Ryan? And part of that may be the fact that he was a little too vociferous in his his willingness to trash Nancy Pelosi as a member of the House. Remember, he ran against her for Speaker.
Oh, I didn't know that part. He was very yes. He was very, you're right. And he was very ready and willing.
And remember,
I don't always vote with Republicans.
He also, in his Senate campaign, let's remember, he ran against Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. He ran against his incumbent president, saying, well, I don't necessarily agree with this student loan forgiveness stuff. Somebody hand me another Miller Lite. And I don't, we're talking about human beings, you know. James Madison said, "If men were angels, there would be no need of government." And people can get a little pissed when, and you know, candidate, you know, everybody has to run their own campaign, sure. But mm-hmm. I this is in no wise me saying, well, I guess it's okay if we've got Jerk Deluxe in there. No. But Tim Ryan apparently felt like the only way he could get through to voters in Ohio was to put on a little Republican line.
Democrat. Yeah, Democrat. So, I mean, really, you know, you got to talk to people in Ohio, you know, and see.
I get it.
So,
you've got to meet people where they are. Sure. But I think that might have been a little bit of it. The other part of it, though, Darlene, is that it could be that from jump, you know, the geniuses who talk to the pollsters and whatnot, mm-hmm. they may have seen Ohio as a lost cause all along.
Well, and that's why they need to fire the Democratic campaign consultants. They all need to fucking go. They need to go. Goodbye. Just wipe them clean and let's start fresh. Because they fucked some shit up. Now, we will never know. It could be that if they pumped more money into Tim Ryan's campaign, he would have won. It could be that the other side is right, that, you know, the other thought is right. One, somebody who is a direct stark contrast.
Yeah, that.
So,
mentioning consultants. You reminded me of something that the late great Bart Kopp used to say a lot, and it was funny then, and it's funny now, and it's also true then and true now. He would say, "I want to be a campaign consultant for the Democrats. I can lose and lose and lose and lose, and I still get to cash all the checks."
There you go.
Yeah, it's like being the Washington Generals playing the Harlem Globetrotters. Just go out and lose, and the money spends just fine.
And it makes you wonder, is this self-sabotage for this role? Because they're all in on it together. You know, it's about power and control, and they're the elites, we're not. Now, it's gotten dangerous. You know, Joe finally woke up and said, "Whoa, you know, we're at potential here of losing our republic." Now he said, "You know, our democracy, which we're not, we're aspirational." But it was game time. So, you know, and then you have the frustration of Gavin Newsom. But here's the thing. All that aside, clearly, what we did in Florida and what we did in Ohio did not work. So wouldn't that then mean that they need to either split the difference or go all out the next time and see if a stark contrast, a progressive candidate, a liberal candidate, something like a stark contrast, would be worth giving a shot in the future? And if they don't do that, then that's, I have a problem.
Well, when there really was a red wave in 2010, the teabagger revolution, you remember who made that red wave possible? Remember who did all the losing in that campaign? Do you remember? Mm-hmm. It was the Blue Dog Democrats, the Republican Light Democrats.
Oh, listen, you want to keep, look, I see it in my town. You want to keep Republicans in power?
Then vote for Republicans.
Have a shit ton of Democrats that are essentially Republican-like. They're conservative Dems, Blue Dog Dems. I have that in my town. And some of them are my good friends, and I get pissed off at them. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? What are you doing? You know, you think you're progressive. You're not a progressive, dude. No way. So, do Democrats have to lose for this possibility presented to them? How often do progressives have to scream this from the rooftops before they, you know, give it a shot, give it a try? And if I hear one fucking Democrat say, hedge on whether or not they will 100% back Joe Biden if he decides to run for president in 2024, Joe needs to give him a call and say, what the fuck? At minimum, this should free up Reverend Warnock. This should free him up. He should be able to turn around and say, 100%, I will back Joe Biden. Write it. to a certain degree, to a large degree, Joe has been vindicated. So you know what? Reverend Warnock, next time, if you're asked this question in the lead up to the runoff.
Yeah, don't run away.
Ooh, that was hard to say. Don't fucking run away. Don't sit there and, well, I'm just looking. Come on, Rev. You're talking about such a quality person, an incredible orator, somebody who read the same church as Dr. King, and this Herschel Walker even has a chance? God, it's like, what the fuck is wrong with people in Georgia?
Right.
What is wrong with you?
What are y'all drinking? What are you?
Not you.
No, but...
There was a...
Quit smoking the banana peels, damn it.
I mean, your buddy there, Mike Malloy, must be just apoplectic.
Oh.
But he must be apoplectic. But I remember, I don't know why I'm thinking about this, but it was something that the Supreme Court had said, go ahead, execute. It was years ago. Democracy Now was there. They were trying to stop the execution of a black man who there was exculpatory evidence, and the Supreme Court said, nope, off with his head, and executed him.
Oh, yeah. I
remember
the maggot court loves killing people. They get a charge out of it. And Ketanji Brown Jackson's dissent in that was powerful and impeccably reasoned, and you and I both know what happens when the state, or what's supposed to happen when the state hides potentially exculpatory evidence.
Well, this black man, he was wearing suspenders. He was a big guy, and he stood there. They interviewed him. Democracy Now interviewed this fool, and he said, what's happened here is a travesty of justice. It's a travesty. He said, everybody, I beg of you, buy nothing from Georgia. Don't buy their peaches. Don't buy anything. Do not buy Georgia peach. Don't buy anything from Georgia. And the other thing. All right. Joe, you got up there? I think they did a gathering today. And they had Kamala there, which is why she's front and center in my mind, along with Doug. And they had Jill there, and they're all crediting Jill and Doug. And I think they credited Kamala, but Jesus, I know she's keeping a good, everybody knows she's being screwed. She knows she's being screwed. And she's standing right by his side, and she's doing her part. Joe owes her in a big way. I don't know when he's going to realize it. But he said, he brought up Ketanji and said that she's probably the smartest Supreme Court justice on the court. It's like fucking A, drop the, never use adverbs, drop the goddamn probably. He could have had an opportunity to say, Ketanji, Sonia, and Elena are hands down the three smartest justices on that Supreme Court. And fucking zing those other six screwballs. Zing them. Slam them. Take every fucking opportunity you can do it. Directly and indirectly. Call him out. Joe, stop being genteel. Same thing, Richard Blumenthal. sweet guy, nice guy, but he's too genteel. I got some notes to send to him too, You're asking people to bring out the fisticuffs that aren't capable, too embedded in how they, which is what, Bernie complains about quite a bit.
People like straight, How many times did we hear the maggots say, well, I just like him because he tells it like it is.
Exactly. You can't believe it.
And that's that for some reason or another, that's a talking point from the populist proto-fascist right. I mean, that was actually a campaign slogan for George Wallace back in 68 and 72, telling it like it is. Well, we can do that too. Yep. And the fun thing for us is we don't have to tell lies to do it.
Well, that's what your friend Tara Devlin always says. And I like this. She says, look, truth has a liberal bias. She's right. You know, truth has a liberal bias. Start owning it, Dems. They should not cower or be afraid of anything after what happened. And thank goodness it happened on Tuesday. You know, again, we're not out of the woods yet. There's still a road to hoe here. But it's just, you know, they need to fucking wake up. And people, please, horn listeners, write into your Congress. Then, you know, flood the WhiteHouse.gov comments. Call in. Say, okay, you're not off the hook. We want more. Start listening to the progressives in your caucus. You know, I think there's at least 5 new progressives that have been elected to the House. Yeah. Just, I don't know if it's one or both.
Well, I've got two emails here that speak kind of to this. On the one hand, because you were talking about how you hoped Michael Moore was right. Well, our buddy Don in West Tennessee said, all in all, Michael Moore almost got it all right.
Mm-hmm.
He was very close. And then coincidentally, Kim in New York City says, our wonderful Mayor Adams just came out and blamed progressives for New York's losses in the House. What a dick. And I voted for him.
What a fucking dick. Well, all right. So then get the message back to him. Shut the fuck up. STFU. No more. Stop undercutting us.
New York happened because New York got the New York Assembly got too cute by half with its redistricting law.
Exactly.
They created that was an own goal. That was a self-inflicted wound.
And you know, it's just amazing to me because Kathy Hochul, she's freaking dynamite. She's awesome. She's so progressive. At least that's been my impression of her. The fact that she even had a run for her money in that state, and I don't know if it has to do with the gerrymandering, them getting too cute. I'm assuming it does. But that should have been a cakewalk for her. She's amazing. I think she's amazing.
No, I think she's excellent. And you know, I don't think the gerrymandering. The anti-gerrymandering statute had anything to do with her race. That's just, you know, we tend to pretend that states that we look at as blue are just little liberal enclaves. But, you know, there's no small number of maggots in New York.
And look, they need to do something there with, you know, Dems or the White, whatever. Get a secret, you know, make a secret. I'm okay with it as a fucking secret. I don't give a shit because that's what Republicans are fucking doing left and right. Form a secret major fucking PR commission, hire a shit ton of people, and their sole job is to freaking counter every goddamn thing the right comes out with and make it stick.
But there's a problem buried within that solution, and that is the political class culture is one but you know these are the people who know which fork to use with the oyster.
Well, that's the problem. That's what Bernie's been complaining about.
Those are the people who talk with their teeth clenched and call each other babe.
I've heard this, darling. We don't want to be like them. But see, you know, they'll tell it like it is. They'll be a plain talker, but you know, on their side, it's a bunch of goddamn lies. If we talk plain, we can do it, but you have to have the people who are competent to address the issues. You know, as our dear friend Beth in Dallas used to talk about, because she spent her career providing help in reproductive care, and if I recall what Beth used to say, she would say things like, "Hi, Beth." She'd say stuff like, "You know, we've got to quit talking about abortion in those smarmy terms." You know, like when Bill Clinton would say, "Abortion should be safe, legal, and rare." You fuck that. And to a certain extent, I think women in America did vote like their lives depended on it, but not everywhere. Yep. Not everywhere.
No. And I'm sure
there's a lot of internalized misogyny among a significant portion of women in this country. But again, we can talk plain without getting all mush-mouthed about it and getting lost in the adverbs and the adjectives. We can talk plainly about, pick an issue, health care. We can talk plainly about bodily autonomy and privacy, and what the other side wants You know, like calling out the lie. Ever since Lady B sent me the article that showed the picture of an actual 6-week fetus that looks like a piece of soggy popcorn and not even remotely like a human being, and there's no way that thing has a heart. You know, the hateful Catholic grannies run around with their aborted fetus posters and stick them in the face of women who are just walking into Planned Parenthood to pick up, you know, to get a pap smear, for Christ's sakes. Where's our side with the big poster of the piece of soggy popcorn in the Petri dish? I had a story a few days ago about the right wing having a conniption over an NPR story in which they interviewed a woman while she was having an abortion. And there was gnat sound, and, you know, you could hear the process. How dare they've broadcasted the sound of a child being murdered. And we need to finally get to the point where we say, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up, you theocratic asshole, move to Iran. We've got to get to the point where we are as hard on them as they are on us. And we don't have to, you know, we don't need Q for that.
I disagree. I think we're both saying the same things, but see, here's the thing. We don't have an apparatus. They do. I'm talking, let's get an apparatus.
Yeah,
because they're so shitty at it.
And look what happens they've got multiple apparatuses. They got Fox, they got Onan, they got Steve Bannon, they got but look at I think Tiffany Cross is exhibit one in this. You fight fire with fire and you give as good as you get, and your ass gets canned at MSNBC.
Well, you're wrong.
I'm sorry.
We do have
what?
The apparatus. I'm sorry. You do have the apparatus. We do have the apparatus. You, Tara Devlin, Mary Trump. It's there. It just gets no. It does not get the level of airplay that it should.
Well, and that's, brilliant ideas, and that's because we all, I think we all brilliant. Struggle to stay alive.
Right. Brilliant ideas come out of a terrorist program. Brilliant ideas come out. I mean, you know, Mary needs to bring in, like, multiple brains. You know, she calls them her nerd Avengers. Good shit comes out of that, too. You're able to just do it by yourself. You're able to do it. Tara's able to do it on her own. I mean, you're powerhouses that should be on her program, quite frankly.
Well, you know, I would love that. I would love that opportunity. But the way we make that happen is not for either Tara or me to write to them, because that just seems kind of pitiful and, you know, plea for attention. It's other people writing in and say, have these people on. They're talking the same thing you're talking.
All right. Exactly. They've been talking to them long before you did. So do that. I'll do that in the comments. Do that in the chat. The people listen to her program usually comes on like in the afternoon around noon time. Do it. I mean, she has a trans woman on there. Maybe you probably heard of Charlotte Kleinman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I know who Charlotte is.
Yeah. And, you know, and there was, you know, terrible things that some people in the chat were saying about Charlotte. Charlotte brought it up and said, hey, you know, she said something and said, look, I'm seeing stuff in the chat and called it out. Now, Mary was not aware, but Mary was pissed. And she's like, you will not. She goes, get off my program. She'll defend her. She goes, you know, Nerd Avengers to the hill and said, look, they are here because, you know, they have earned everything to be here. You do not question anything about the Nerd Avengers, that kind of thing. But you folks, I swear, it's word for word. She's got to be listening to your program or hasn't been listening to your program because, you know, the whole concept of, you know, democracy being aspirational, not operational.
That one is absolutely 100% totally mine.
It's word for word. Word for word, she says it. She's had you been listening to your program, and that is wrong for her not to invite you on to her program. I keep saying that because, you know, she's got some excellent guests, and being on her program, it advances their other programs, you know, their respective programs. Yeah. And efforts in book writing and everything else.
Well, that goes to a point that I've been talking about for years. But the media landscape.
Help each other.
Yeah, the media landscape is predicated on competition because capitalism, and I don't want to play. Mm-hmm. I'm not in competition with a single other liberal progressive talker out there.
Mm-hmm.
Broadcaster, whatever word we're using.
No, you've been, you're excellent with that. Like,
I want to be part of a team. Too. You know, all the way back to the founding of the Horn, when we were 1 hour shy of having as much live programming as Air America. And I would tell people, I said, you know, I don't want to be Elvis. This was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't want to be Elvis. I want to be the Beatles. Yep. I want to be part of a team that advances ideas.
And efforts.
Yeah, I guess now, like, I don't want to be Madonna. I want to be the Go-Go's without the drugs.
Well, and John Bernabeu, he loves you for that because he hawks your stuff all the time. He admits to it. And that's why he supports your program. He comes on there and he thumps for you for support because he knows that you're at the forefront. And he's an excellent writer. He's a smart man.
Oh God, John's brilliant.
But you can put things you can put things in a way that he just loves it. And, you know, and he will credit you. Say, you know, like Robin says, he brings you up in every show. He brings you up.
I love him dearly.
And, you know, you could have easily looked at that as like, hey, stop horning in on my stuff on the horn. But you didn't. you turned around and said, hey, you know, have at it. That's what you need.
Use it in good health. I mean, it, right.
Use it in good health. I think Mary's a good person. She's a good person. I mean, she is single-handedly, you know, is like, wow, there's a Trump that's actually halfway decent. I mean, she is, she's, her brilliance is right up there. She it's word for word.
Well, you don't get to where Mary Trump is. You know, she did, mm-hmm. she didn't laugh her way through, you know, through, the Penn School of, the Wharton School, you know, on gentlemen's
days. She is so well credentialed, when it comes to, psychology and psychiatry. I mean, it was nonstop educational attainment with Mary Trump. Non-fucking-stop. I mean, she's got more degrees than...
And I can guess at the motivation. I mean, when one presumes that she loved her daddy, and I don't think that's a ridiculous yes. presumption.
No.
To you know, it would motivate you to find out and learn as much as you possibly can so that you can understand why someone does the mm-hmm. things that were done, like, you know, to her daddy. And all in the world he wanted to do was live his own life and not be an extension of Klansman Fred.
And, you know, that's the thing, because I take it that her father was a good person. You know, he bucked against the family, you know, go into business and all this stuff. He wanted to just be a pilot. Not that it's just. He wanted to be a pilot, but that was beneath, I guess, Fred, the Klansman. And one of the things that I learned, and it took my mother's struggles in the hospital and her eventual passing to realize how, you know, I had always said, oh, it's just this stuff, kind of stuff. There's certain areas of life that I find too frightening, just too frightening. And her medical issues were scaring the shit out of me. But for one reason or another, I had to be a part of these conversations. And sitting there listening to all the doctors and all of that, it dawned on me just how freeing information is. Like, really delving into things, how learning as much as you can about a particular situation. You know, we were like BiPAP, CPAP, this, that, you know, really as frightening and scary and depressing as the conversations were and eventually what happened, I felt a sense of empowerment from the information that I learned from, you know, and not only that, but saying we can do better. There has to be another alternative. There has to be another option. Pushing the doctors as well was critically important. But this just gaining the knowledge that we gained by talking to all of these individuals, because what came out of one conversation? Talk to an infectious disease person. This person came up with a totally different drug, and she rebounded, at least for a short time. Then they fucked everything up beyond that, but we were fighting like hell. And what I realized was how education and information is empowerment. That's what Mary did. That's what progressives do. That's what your program did. That's what we all do, except that's what the other side doesn't want.
No, the other side needs low information voters. I mean, it's like that constitutional amendment that was on the ballot here in West Virginia that would basically have given the legislature ultimate authority to just be a statewide board of education. And the people of the state looked at it and went, "Oh hell no." Yeah, they know what a bunch of and I'm They know what a bunch of jackasses they've sent down there, but they only feel responsible for the jackass that they send. But they get a statewide issue that doesn't have an R or a D by it, and they go, "Oh no, I can tell crazy when I see it."
No.
I think probably nonetheless we're going to have another another 6 weeks, you know, come the dead of winter, we'll have another 6 weeks of grunting and barking and hooting about critical race theory and our skews and who's going to the potty where. And, you know, how boys will dress up as girls just so they can go into the girls' restroom. And our daughters is under attack. I mean, this shit gets wearing if you're me, Darlene. I mean, it's existentially exhausting.
But, well, yeah. So, I mean, you're getting a taste of what Tracy's had to deal with all her life as a black woman in this nation. And Charlotte was saying the same thing. You know, she says she's scared. She's grieved for. You know, we're ground zero for what's going to happen. The attacks, we're the target, for the next couple of years. If the Republicans succeed in taking the House, goodness forbid if they also take, eke out or some sort of a win in the Senate. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Our work is not done.
Well, and that's a fundamental point. It's something Boss Man Wayne used to say all the time. Republicans never take a year off, let alone a day off. That's why I said yesterday, the fight for 2024 begins now, whether we like it or not.
Right. And I'm fine with that, because at this point, there's going to be quite a bit at stake in 2024. And look, Joe has his mental acuity. Okay. My mother had her mental acuity. Her body didn't hold out. It seems like such a waste, Joe's trim, he seems, anything could happen, though. And, we really need to, he needs to elevate Kamala like there's no tomorrow. And we need to use this time to also squash into nothingness the Hillary factor, in the sense that the other side is attempting to Hillaryize Kamala. That cannot stand. That cannot be tolerated. We need to change that. That arc. I mean, and in a sense too, I don't know, who knows the dynamics in a marriage, but in a sense, Bill really screwed Hillary over in a lot of ways, because with doing away with it was the fairness doctrine. Is that what it's called? The fairness doctrine?
No, that was Reagan. The bill signed the Telecommunications Act of 1996.
The Telecommunications Act of 1996. Okay. Hillary's been paying the price for that since he did that. Did that on Fox News? And they've been after her and eviscerating her ever since. Hillary. And we can't allow this to continue. And because Democrats are so shitty at messaging until, recently, that's why I feel like there needs to be an apparatus that really is looking at this stuff and fucking trolling back with trolls, because they got a glint of the success of that when Joe got out there and started talking about the semi-fascist and started alerting Americans, democracy is at stake. Obama got on that, but a real critical pivotal thing was, two pivotal things in my book was Gavin Newsom going after Plantis, and I hope Gavin continues to do to do that because a lot of people really liked those commercials. The other thing was the Twitter tweets, which they got a lot of press in the aftermath of the student loan forgiveness, when Marjorie Taylor Gangrene and all those other Republicans were sitting there saying, well, you can't give them a, you know, this is, you know, how dare they cut them a break? How dare they, the American taxpayers are paying that. As soon as they brought up the PPP loan forgiveness that racked up hundreds of thousands of dollars.
They kind of dried up. Yeah, they kind of dried up and blew away, didn't they?
Yep. And the other dude, they got like over $1 million. They dried up and blew away. You didn't hear a fucking peep out of those assholes. You did not hear a peep. Now, Joe brought it up again, which is good. And just the disgusting, like, Mercola there, Dr. Mercola, he's a major fucking anti-vaxxer. Major fucking anti-vaxxer. He went to the bank there for a PPP loan. Major fucking anti-vaxxer. They forgave all of those things like it was nothing. I was too afraid to go for PPP. I stuck with state, you know, unemployment, was self-employed. I was too afraid because I was like, you know, it may be forgiven. I was like, my friend went for it. She had. I didn't want to go for that because I didn't trust it. Clearly, I was wrong. But see, they're in the know. The Marjorie Taylor Gangrenes and all the rest of them. They knew when they applied for that shit. They were going to get it.
Well,
they knew it was going to be
hogs. Hogs know how to get their trotters in the trough, Darlene. I mean, it's hardwired.
They know.
And by the way, you know, going back to, you mentioned Val Demings going back to being a cop, and Kim mentioned the mayor of New York. Steve said, nominate a cop, this happens. Adams was spewing the crime is out of control meme. New York City media reaches into the Hudson Valley and Long Island. That the streets are combat zones, Bruga, Bruga, Bruga message got out. Val Demings was a former cop and former Republican. The cop fetishist Republicans will always vote for a Republican over any pro-cop Democrat. And I didn't know
Val was a Republican.
There's truth in all of that. And one other thing that we haven't touched on that I think we very much need to, and I've been talking to our pal Joy in Ann Arbor about this. There needs to be like a playbook or a manual or something come out of Michigan. Because when you think back to just how rabidly maggot Michigan was. And, you know, the assholes who were going to kidnap Gretchen Whitmer because they couldn't mow their snow. And on the one hand, the maggots went full maggot and put up a maggot slate. I mean, two-door Dixon, really?
That's hilarious, two-door Dixon.
Because the maggots couldn't afford the four-door. And that absolute cue ball Lulu they ran for attorney general or secretary of state. And not only did all three of those return to office, they flipped the Michigan legislature. Michigan is blue from top to bottom. So, you know, we can count on Michigan to protect, you know, to protect privacy rights, bodily autonomy, marginalized children. Mm-hmm. Because somebody there knew how to do shit right, and the leadership of the state of Michigan is badass bitches. Okay, I mean, and I say that lovingly, not pejoratively.
Yes.
And now I think Michigan will have its first black woman as a speaker of the Michigan House. I mean, the rest of the country may be. But there needs to be a playbook come out of Michigan.
Well, let's see if the Democrats can fucking learn. You know, because you think Republicans aren't going to learn from this?
Well, I don't necessarily think they're going to learn from this because the GOP is still the maggot party. I mean, there are some people making some rumblings, but you know, they're a maggot. I mean, if things continue as they look to continue, I mean, I had a note from Billable Rick a little bit ago on Clanny Oakley. Bobblehead has pulled 1,200 votes ahead of Frisch. Last night, she was 62 votes behind. I don't like the trend in that race. But think about it. Jim Jacketoff Jordan is going to be chair of the House Judiciary Committee. And this guy is full maggot. I mean, he makes 1988 Newt Gingrich seem sane. And 1988 Newt Gingrich was plum, I mean, squirrel nut crazy. So it's whoever's out there hoping that there are maybe some closet case Adam Kinzingers and Liz Cheney's out there. Well, to verge over into Mary Trump's area of expertise, that's what the behavioral health professionals refer to as magical thinking. You know, everything's falling apart, but something, you know, and the, you know, Aristotle and the Greeks, Sophocles and Aeschylus, they tapped into this with the deus ex machina. You know, suddenly the god is going to swing out on a crane and everything's going to be okay. But it's going to, make no mistake, it's, if they get control and Joy pointed out, you know, if they've got a majority of one or a majority of 100, they're going to do the same toxic shit. And I don't even know.
Well, yeah.
And people, you know, people who are engaged in a war for their very lives in Ukraine, I guess they probably don't have a hell of a lot of time for following American politics, but they have a reason to be really sad and afraid if the maggots get hold, of the purse strings.
Because the
maggots will hang Ukraine out to dry just on principle, because they had the unmitigated gall to cooperate in dropping the dime on Julius Geezer's shakedown scam. Am I wrong?
No, not at all. I mean, I did see a headline though that before the election, that there are many Republicans. Now, I don't know if, again, we're being misled, but that they were saying they did not have an appetite for impeaching Biden. So I don't know if that's true.
Well, good. They don't have an appetite. They don't have an appetite for trash. But there's plenty of trash pandas in the garbage pile.
Yeah.
It could be far worse than it is, and from the Department of Stoke the Stroke, Dimwit Domitian is out there grunting about Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania is a very corrupt state with voting, but nobody ever wants to check that. How does Oz, smart guy, lose to a guy who can't string together two sentences?
So, you know, we're back to the making fun of people with their...
disabilities, yeah. Fucker. You know what? I read an article, it was an old article, but during the Trump administration, the regime... the number of unfounded SSI and SSDI denials for people with disabilities skyrocketed. The Trump regime targeted people with disabilities who were trying to claim benefits. I mean, people who they were ignoring. I mean, there was just like there was no excuse to deny these individuals, denial after denial, 1 to 3 years of fighting. Usually the claimant died. One guy was so distraught, he walked out onto his front lawn with a gun in his hand and threatened to shoot himself in the head. They were able to stop him in time.
Jesus.
the Trump administration specifically targeted people with disabilities who are trying to make claims for a benefit that they fucking earned, that they had paid into the system. And they ignored doctors' medical reports. They just ignored it and just came back with, they had to keep appealing and appealing and appealing. This skyrocketed during that fucker's, at the time he was squatting in the White House masquerading as president. People died because of this fucker. I am so, look. I don't know if he could have prevented COVID from coming to our shores. But he sure as all hell didn't fucking try. And I remember Biden saying, I would have had our people on the ground in China in no time at all. But the media never holds that fucker accountable. They never hold the Republican Party accountable. And neither do the elite Democrats, our political class, the Democrats. I don't think I ever heard one of them say, I don't know, maybe I missed it. Did any of them say, hey, by the way, COVID happened on your watch?
No. You know what, Darlene? COVID is a forbidden topic now.
This is me off.
I give out the standard warning or admonishment at the end of every program. But it's not something to talk. But and maybe it's best if we depoliticize it, and this is going to come across as really shitty. And I don't mean it to, but I couldn't help thinking as I was watching all of these tight races unfold, I wonder how many dead maggots from COVID there are in, say, Clanny Oakley's district. And those were people who reliably went out and voted maggot.
Oh well,
and I mean, there's, and we, I mean, we know that we know. We know statistically that maggots tended to die in greater numbers than people who went out and wore masks and got vaccinated. So they kind of screwed themselves.
Yeah. Thank you for reminding me of that. You hear that, Mary? You need to put Robin on your program. Y'all haven't brought that up. That is an excellent point. I forgot about that.
There's over a million dead, and even if that breaks out, 70-30 or 60-40, that's an election margin in almost any district.
Mm-hmm. And look, you did have some. Look, okay, you did have some hardcore Republicans, I'm sure, that voted Democrat, like Nicole Wallace. She probably voted Democrat. What the hell was his name? He lost a lot of weight. He was another, they would never become Democrats, but, they're independents or whatever. Jennifer Rubin used to be hardcore. And she's like, she's also on, you should be on Mary's program before Jennifer Rubin. But Jennifer Rubin's on our program. She's now calling the Democratic Party her refuge party. Her refuge.
You'll get a kick out of this because we've been talking about Lady B's new voiceover for the intro. Well, I've sent that off to Brother Deacon Asa, and I also sent him along the I don't know if he can mix this music plot or not. It may be too complicated. But one of the things that I mixed in there is a line from a Drive-By Trucker song that I used to play at the end of every show, or at least a few bars of it. But there's a line, and it was one of those breadcrumbs I used to leave all those years ago. But there's a line in the Drive-By Trucker song, Hell No, I Ain't Happy, where Patterson Hood sings, "She's an overnight sensation after 25 years." And
I bought their music because of you. They're good.
Oh.
They're really good, and one of them sounds almost like I know we like to joke that Bill will kill him off, but he died. He had a hip injury and died. Petty.
Yeah, Tom Petty.
One of them just reminds me of Tom Petty. I was going to say John. Tom Petty has like a similar kind of a, I don't know, twang or something to his voice.
If that was me saying that, yeah. I'd say that was probably Patterson because Cooley has the deeper, more, country voice. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're both very Southern. And remember, Petty was a Florida redneck boy. So there's probably a reason there's a little bit of dialectic similarity.
Yeah. Well, it just reminds me of Tom Petty. But they're good. A good group. And, I don't know. You know, Republicans have a high threshold for pain. They do. They have a high tolerance level for pain because to put up with Trump, he's such a dickweed. I mean, and to put up with his bullshit, there's something wrong with them. But getting back to Mary, yeah, she clearly really researched, you know, the psychology behind stuff. She's obviously very credentialed. And it's so funny to hear her talk about, you know, that asshole that fucked. She has no qualms about bad-mouthing her uncle. And she really talks your language because she also does what you do about being Lily White and, you know, talking about white privilege. She has two people of color, one who is just, she's dynamite. And she just, it's like Tracy talking. I mean, really, she's like, I'm not giving my, you know, white women, you know, I'm not cutting them any slack. They fucking know better. I mean, she's awesome. And she just brings up these just brilliant points. And her name escapes because I always look at it and I'm like, she's fucking brilliant. But she says the same thing, you know, really white people who, I mean, literally, it's like I'm listening to you. So, just saying. So let's see. Politico is saying both parties are gearing up. They're gearing up for, I mean, Georgia's going to be a zoo. That is going to be a zoo. Gearing up for Georgia Senate runoff with eyes on Arizona and Nevada. So, the media is loving this. But there shouldn't even be a contest here. Herschel Walker is just...
It drives me bananas. Before you even go there, it still drives me absolutely up a tree.
And so I think they need to continue hammering home his abortion record and hypocrisy behind that. And they asked the woman, the black woman, who was like, there at one of his... rallies and stuff, and I don't know what the hell she said. It was just crazy shit, and it's just like, come on. And no more apologies, no more, you know, and Democrats need to get out there and say, any woman who has had an abortion, going to have an abortion, do not, never, ever, ever question yourself. Never feel bad about yourself. No. Those days are now gone. It's over. With all the states, even was it like five Republican, hardcore Republican states, they all voted to preserve a woman's right to privacy or to choose or what have you. We had a ballot question. Although our laws here in Connecticut are considered the most advanced in terms of protecting a woman's right to choose, I do not think it's enshrined in our Constitution. What we did have for a ballot question, a referendum question, had to do with, and it did not pass the first time, but it is whether or not the Constitution, it takes a couple of layers of thinking, but it's whether or not the Connecticut Constitution can be amended to permit the General Assembly to construct, you know, rules, laws, whatever, for early voting, in-person early voting. It failed the first time when it was presented on as a ballot initiative because, oh, you know, we're the land of steady habits. No, it was because they just didn't do enough to promote it. Well, this time they got it down, and it passed resoundingly. So seeing that we're still Democratic dominated here in the state, thank goodness, Connecticut's eventually going to be rolling out early voting, in-person early voting laws. So that's a good start. That's good. And I think we do have same-day registration and of course, the absentee ballots, that kind of thing. So, you know, we're getting there. But they promoted it better. They did a better job of educating the public about what it meant. So, and it doesn't affect, you know, right now I'm thinking, well, you know, it's not going to help me because I can't drive, I can't go in person, I have to use absentee. But I'm thinking it could really make a difference for a lot of other people, and one day I will be able to get to the polls again, physically get to the polls again. So, you know, obviously I voted yes for it. So that's a good thing. And then, of course, the remarkable thing happened in Massachusetts, because Massachusetts, the governorship can go right or left. You know, it can go Republican or Democrat, but we have, I think, we have a Democratic governor who's also a member of the LGBTQIA plus community. So that's pretty cool. That happened in Mass. So, you know, New York, aberration. I'm not liking what I'm hearing in Connecticut. Oh, it's a red wave in New York. You know, in other words, Connecticut is going to somehow bleed into Connecticut. But we know it's not necessarily a red wave. It's just.
Well, you know, I don't know if you were listening, but the other night I name checked you because I was reading a story about the maggotization of Greenwich, Connecticut. You know, where the stodgy old plaid pants Republicans live.
I meant to comment on that, but we didn't have a chance. Go ahead. Yep.
And to a certain extent, it's normalized. I mean, the fact that James O'Keefe mm-hmm. is a Greenwicher, they're like, oh, okay. And this guy's just a serial purveyor of lies. But the fact that there is some hand wringing and pearl clutching going on in that set, well, you know, we just live day by day with. Gee, I hope it doesn't hurt too little. But the thing is, I don't know. You know, there are a lot of people out there saying, well, you know, this may spell the end of the Trump blah, 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 blah. Shut up. And it's this persistent insistence on ignoring or forgetting the past. You know, this, okay, it got worse under Trump. But it didn't. He didn't birth it. Okay, he just gave the toxic baby a bath and cleaned it up a little bit and put some money into it. Other people's money, of course. But it was there in the teabaggers. It was there with the Klan. It was there with the John Birchers. It was there in George Wallace's campaign in 68 and 72. God damn it! It was there in Pat Buchanan's campaign in 2000. I mean, do you remember the weird disparity during the 2000 Florida count when it was like, wait, how did the old Jews for Buchanan? Because of the number of bizarre voting patterns in which, you know, staunch Florida elderly Jewish people were suddenly going to vote for the guy who thought there were good things to say about Adolf Hitler. And just what? And by the way, Steve just sent along the cover to today's New York Post. Did you see that one with Nitwit Nero as Humpty Dumpty?
No, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, how Donald, this is, again, this is Murdoch. This is the New York Post. Here's how Donald Trump sabotaged the Republican midterms. And it shows it's him on, it's his head in egg shape on top of a wall. Don, who couldn't build a wall, had a great fall. Can all the GOP's men put the party back together again? And the big splashy headline says Trumpty Dumpty. And of course, Steve says, stoke that stroke. And
isn't it lovely, as the Brits say, they duck turned and ate each other. And isn't it lovely? We're watching them eat each other. And it's a beautiful sight to behold. Go ahead, sir.
Well, no, it is. It's positively lovely. And I hope this can continue until, what did we decide, November 5th, 2024?
We decided, yes, November 5th, 2024. I was trying to do November, whatever it was, 2023. I'm anxious. Because, you know, people forget after a few months, let alone a couple of years. Let me ask you this, though. It's going to sound like it makes no sense because I'm asking. It's like, what is she asking that question? All right. If you were to guess, would you say that Diana Ross would vote Republican or Democratic?
I couldn't guess anything but Democrat.
Okay. Well, Diana is a resident of Greenwich, Connecticut. There are a lot of entertainers that are residents of Greenwich, Connecticut, because they've got the moolah and the, you know, the prestige and everything else to settle in that community. She lives in Greenwich. There are others. So, surprisingly, it might be surprising. I have one of my clients services that community in a very difficult area, field, and that is sexual violence. Okay, Greenwich is far better and more open to that than, say, New Canaan, which is in the same area. New Canaan is very, very uptight. I mean, that community, I would venture, is worse than Greenwich. There are two diverse cities. You know, there's some diversity. Certainly Stamford, that's a pretty diverse city, and it's the second largest city in the state of Connecticut. In that Fairfield County area, you've got Danbury. Danbury is a multicultural city as well. So, you know, you have these, quote-unquote, the white and tight communities, like New Canaan, Stratford, that kind of thing. But they're really, I think, outweighed by the cities that are diverse. And those are usually the things that carry Democrats here in Connecticut, for sure. So where I live, you know, blood red. And that's why it was so damn close for Johanna. I can guarantee you that my particular town came out in support of Logan, who is an African-American man, a Republican, again, tongue-in-cheek. I think, you know, they put him up against Johanna, and he almost won. They pit two black people against one another because, you know, Republicans. So, and Johanna, she's fantastic. She's consistent. First thing is education, because she was a former national, she was a teacher of the year, national teacher of the year during the Obama administration. But she's brought a shit ton of money. She's brought a shit ton of money to our area. 10, 11 million, I mean, she's done a lot. But when you have a Republican stronghold like the town that I live in, they didn't access any of that money. It's like, where the fuck didn't they get this money? All the other towns got the money. My town didn't. I can guarantee you. I didn't look at the numbers. I don't know if Johanna posted, you know, Republican, Democrat, you know, breakdown, her town. I can guarantee you my town went for Logan. Even though they're as racist as fuck. The Republicans in this town, they're as racist as fuck.
Well, sure, okay? but they want one. Oh, I just feel I'm going to shower.
Yeah, as long as it's one of theirs.
I'm going to gargle with bleach as soon as I say this. Sure they are, but they were voting for the good one.
Yeah, right. Yep. And that good one reached out to me, sent me a flyer, said, I'm not your typical Republican. Look. This is where Democrats need to, you know, okay, I know, Michelle, I respect you, Michelle. You know, they go high, they go low, we go high. Although she seemed to kind of step back and sort of retrace that. But this is where the Democrats need to come right out and say the truth. And ask the electorate a serious question. And it is a very reasonable question. It's a viable question. Even if a Republican says that they're pro-choice, that they're for a woman's right to choose, do you really believe them? Do you really trust them? Fuck no, because we had a couple, you know, try to do that here in Connecticut. And you know, the one who was running against, who's dumb, and he's the one who was running against Lamont, that he's pro-choice. They had, you know, the one that sounds like a like an antihistamine there. What the heck does he mean? again, she's pro-choice. No, she may be sincere. But people are often sincere in the moment. But if you think for 1 second that the entire Republican apparatus isn't, you know, nationally, regionally isn't going to come down on that individual and put enormous pressure on them to flip their, you know, once they get in, you've got another.
Well, right, that's precisely the point. You can be personally yeah. pro-privacy, pro-choice, but if you go to mm-hmm. Congress and you have to do the bidding of your speaker, and you're a first termer. When mm-hmm. they say froggy, you're going to say how high.
Exactly. You know, and, you know, Blumenthal, I give Laura Levy some credit. She was a Trump endorsed maggot. She was very gracious and very upfront with her confession. That alone was like, wow. I'm impressed with that. I won't be impressed for long. Okay, we're done with that. But she actually was very gracious. And she conceded and congratulated him and said, you know, I wish him all the luck in the world, blah, blah, blah.
Well, something similar happened up in Maine. You know, the guy that Charlie Pierce refers to as the human bowling jacket, Paul LePage, who used to be he was the teabagger governor of Maine. Yeah, he ran again and got his ass beaten by the Democratic incumbent Janet Mills. And then he did what competent politicians who lose do, and he conceded. And his election night party then began verging toward riot, as the Bangor Daily News reported. Supporters began shouting expletives to disrupt recordings by TV reporters. One woman who loudly wept as LePage spoke began hurling explicit insults at a reporter who had interviewed her. Some attendees raised baseless accusations of voter fraud. I mean, the thing mm-hmm. is, this is what is going to drive the next 2 years, that dynamic that the... I don't know if the multimillionaire for-profit media actually get it, but this is a genie that's been let out of the bottle, and Republican politicians have no way to put it back, and they have to have these freaks. They can't win without them.
Well, I do think I'm getting the sense that people are fed up with the lies about, you know, the big lie. I think they're fed up with Republicans claiming voter fraud. I think they're like, that dog don't hunt no more. Because it seems like people are not even entertaining that. I mean, it's just a general feeling I'm getting. I don't know if you're getting that same feeling. And it's a whimper. It's coming, you know, from Trump, of course. What do you expect? It almost seems like a whimper. But the thing, too, is a sense of history. Because you were bringing that up, and I didn't have a chance to watch it, but this is where people like Bernie Sanders can be a real asset. But he was on YouTube giving, the history of the labor movement. And we're in desperate need of things like that because of the generational memory gets lost. Like we forget. And we get complacent. We get, shall we say, cocky. You know, I mean, I remember we can't take anything for granted. And it's like you always have to fight for the right thing. And it's disgusting that this culture is like that. But I remember saying to a family member, I said, you know, don't kid yourself. I said, they could easily overturn Roe. They could overturn Roe versus Wade and take away women's right to choose. And I remember my family said, oh, they would never do that. That would never happen. No, that's not going to happen. So I've been bending her ear. I said, remember when you said, well, I never said, yeah, you said that to me, that that would never happen. So, you know, the whole concept of generational memory, which is what CRT is about, those things are so critical. And that is something that we can't let up on either. We've got some momentum. Even if we lose the House or get tied or tied in both, whatever. I don't know what happens if we get a tie in both. But we have to do a better job with educating people. And this is where, like, what Bernie is doing, we talk about the history of the labor movement. He was, like, sitting there kind of like almost like a teacher, a professor, you know? Like FDR did.
Well, a long, long time ago, somebody penned an article a long, long time ago. I think it was at Common Dreams. And they coined a phrase that has stuck with me all these years. You know, the labor movement is the mother church of progressivism, liberalism.
Mm.
And you know, the Highlander Labor School in the mountains of East Tennessee is where Rosa Parks learned about civil disobedience. And Dr. King visited there. And, you know, remember, in the last fight of his life, it was a labor fight for sanitation.
And these
workers
are brilliant connections, though. I didn't know. Yeah, I mean, these are brilliant connections that I wasn't aware of. I didn't know anything about mountaintop removal until I started listening to your program. I'm like, holy shit, what the fuck is going on here? And was shocked, you know. And then the history of the labor movement in West Virginia, you know.
Yeah, and you know, it's heartbreaking to people like me to see the UMWA become this moribund right wing tool. It is not even a shadow of its former self.
You know, and that's a problem. I remember Sandra saying that to you. You know, the unions are, they have a problem here. They got a messaging problem. I can guarantee you, you know, I have certain family members that voted Democratic in the midterm, if they voted at all. They're totally anti-union. They have no idea how important the union is, or the union movement was to enabling them to spend time with their children. They don't know. They have no fucking clue. And that's where that education and dissemination of information is so important. And I give Bernie a lot of credit because it was cute. He was just sitting there. You know, he can really be such a tremendous asset. And, you know, Bernie had a heart attack. You know, we need to cherish him, and the Democratic Party really needs to be a go-to guy for a lot of things because he does inspire people. Is there an issue? Mary Trump seems to have an issue with him. Yeah, there are some issues. You know, the Bernie Bros and stuff like that. She goes, I'm not going to comment on that. So I don't know what her issue is with Bernie. But I would be curious to hear, you know, eventually if she talks about it. But, you know, I mean, personally, I didn't like the idea that Bernie seemed almost like he was in shock when Joe had said in one of their debates when they were vying, you know, in the primary, when he said that he was going to definitely be a woman vice president. And you could see Bernie was shocked. And he was like, well, you know, whoever it is going to be progressive. You know, Bernie could have capitalized and just said, yeah, I'm going to do the same. It's going to be a progressive woman VP. But he was only, you could see Bernie was thrown for a loop on that. He wasn't expecting that coming out of Joe Biden. And I'm like, well, what's going on with him there? I'm sorry, but I have to ask that question.
But the fact that he was surprised, though, Darlene, is surprising in its own right. Because this is the same Joe Biden who forced the Obama administration to completely turn 180 on gay marriage. It was all about...
I understand that, yeah.
And I mean, maybe he's sometimes he's a little bit slow and institutionalist in getting to things, but he does. I think he seeks right answers from a moral center.
Well, you know, I do think there's somebody close to him and his family that is from the LGBTQIA+ community. I will say that. Because don't forget, Clarence Thomas. Don't forget, Anita Hill. And I know you and I have butted heads on Tara Reid. Okay? And you and I have butted heads on Tara Reid, and we have our opinions. But, you know, there's a history there. Now, yeah, Joe's kind of coming along, and you know, look, okay, I'm probably going out on a limb and I may upset you. But I think Tara Reid tells the truth. I'll tell you why I think she tells the truth. Okay, this was in the aftermath. This was in the aftermath of his wife being killed. It was a horrible accident. And he described a little bit more of the details where I think his two sons, was it his wife and daughter that was killed?
Yes.
And I think his two sons survived. So he lost the two women in his life at the time. You know, a little girl and his daughter and his wife. And apparently the two sons were stuck in the vehicle. They were lying on top of their dead mother and sister. It took them hours to get his two sons out of that car. Right. And he wasn't sure they were going to make it, okay? Now, that incident that Tara Reid claims happened in the aftermath of that. Which, if that is true, that was a really fucking shitty thing for Joe to have done in his wife, you know, in the aftermath of his wife's death. And maybe he was just crazy. But let's take a look at Hunter. Okay, Hunter has admitted to some of his faults or most of his faults, drug abuse, that kind of thing. In the aftermath of Bo dying from a brain tumor, what does Hunter do? He fucks Bo's widow. That's messed up.
Jesus.
Oh, well, you know, we were both overcoming it. That's not normal. That's fucked up. And I'm really kind of surprised that Republicans haven't jumped on that and said, you know, what kind of a mess that, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Well, probably because they would do
Robin,
the very...
Republicans
are careful about not talking about things that they either have done or will do.
So, you know what? Like father, like son? Possible. You know, or like son, like father. You know, I'm sorry, but that's just sick and twisted. That is sick and twisted. And you have to look at Hunter Biden now. You know, should he be indicted for something? No. I'm not saying necessarily that that's not where I'm going with it. But what I'm saying is that's fucked up. That's like, you know, Ghost, you know, where the friend of Swayze takes advantage of, you know, it's like, that's messed up.
Yes.
It's messed up.
Well, look, Again, somewhere, as an environmental and human rights activist, I was put off by the whole "let's frack the frack out of Ukraine" business. It seemed unwise in an era of climate change, but then again, look at what's happening to Ukraine now. They are into the long dark of a winter that they are ill prepared to weather. And Putin is targeting civilian infrastructure.
And, you know, and listen, okay, and speaking of Putin and Russia, I mean, let's not forget the basketball player. They put that poor woman in
a penal colony for 9 years.
A penal colony. For what? Because she had some medical... Some medicine that was had some cannabis in it or something like, or was cannabis based or whatever.
Yeah, it was a vape pen with oil. Yeah. I mean, but the thing is, that's as illegal as a bag of heroin in a place like Mother Russia. And they will burn you to the ground for it. But at least Biden did say in his press conference that they are engaged in frequent prisoner exchange negotiations. They're bound to, we're bound to have some spy of theirs that they would like to bring back home and debrief and then murder.
Well, they've been talking about that for a while, though. But they need to do everything to get Brittany. Is that her name?
Brittany Griner.
What? Yeah, I always know her name, and then when I want to talk about her, I cannot remember Brittany's name. Brittany Griner. They need to do something to get that poor woman out of there because she's innocent. You can see she's.
And again, let's remember she was only over there playing in the off season because of the pay disparity for women's professional hoops as compared to, say, men's.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. LeBron James, you're not going to catch him over there. Hell no.
No.
He doesn't need to.
Oh, but I did want to look. As we wrap things up this evening, I did want to bring up one little factoid, bring it back home a little bit, because climate change is real. And Annette sent me a story while we were talking. Apparently, they were saying, Nicole's only a Category 1 storm. But in Daytona... A quote, "We're in trouble here in Daytona," as homes that are there right on the coast are literally falling into the sea.
And that's what I said with Ian. I said, "I bet this is going to change the shape of the coastline here." Yeah. Yep. On the east side, it's the coastline is collapsing. Yeah. The houses are collapsing. It's reshaping.
So, whether it was Rick Scott or Monkey Up saying, "Thou shalt not utter the word sea level rise." Funny. The coast and the fragile earth upon which they built these McMansions didn't listen, and nature bats last.
No, and you were talking about that. Miami's going to be underwater. That kind of thing. All right, well, I'll let you go a little bit after 8. Just a real quick story. Earlier this year, my brother went to Pennsylvania, and he actually bumped into none other than Mehmet Oz.
Really?
And he had a photograph taken, he had a photo taken with him. And I said, "Phil, why the hell?" I said, "He's an asshole." And this is what he was running against, Fetterman. I said, "He's an asshole. Why the hell?" I said, "Did you have your photo taken with him?" He goes, "It was a gag." He said, and I was telling people I met him, so it's just more or less proof that I actually met him. He goes, "Well, here's the thing. My brother was wearing his mask because it was at the height of the Delta variant. Mehmet Oz was not wearing a mask. They took the photo, and according to my brother, Oz turned to my brother and said, 'Okay, now, you want to take a photo without your mask on?'"
Toxic fuck.
And my brother said, no, thank you, sir. Uh-uh. I'm keeping it on, and walked away. Okay? Those are the fuckers we're dealing with on the right. That was creepy. I'm like, you said that? He goes, yeah. He wanted me to take the mask off and take a photo without the mask on. So the photo has my brother fully masked up completely because he sent it to me. And no, he tried to get my brother to redo the photo without the mask on. So thumbs up for John Fetterman. I can't wait to see a photo of him looking down on that twerp, Marjorie Trader Gangrene, because she barely clocks in at, what, 4 feet? Oh, man, that's going to be beautiful.
She's a freaking hobbit.
So, oh, she's just, you know, she's as creepy and stupid as they make them. Anyway, all right, my friend.
This was a lovely conversation, Darlene. I'm so glad you decided to jump in.
Twice in 1 week. What happened? So, yeah, fingers crossed we get the Senate and somehow eke out a win in the House. I know it's, you know, not likely, but we've been told that what happened on Tuesday was not likely.
Skullduggery does continue in Arizona. In what county is it? Cochise County, Arizona. They've been enjoined by a judge from doing a hand recount of ballots, but the Arizona Republic reported they're going to do it anyway.
Really? For who's the who's? Well, not Kelly.
These are maggots, yeah.
For Kelly?
No, for Carrie Lake and Blake Masters.
Those two. Okay.
Because Carrie Lake's still bringing about voter fraud, and what's her name up in Michigan is doing the same thing. Christina Caramo, who got beaten worse than any other Republican running for statewide office, she lost to Jocelyn Benson by 14 points, and so she's barking and grunting about voter fraud. And let's see, what did she say? There's more to come. Stay tuned for more information about voter fraud. I've received multiple reports of election law violations and other irregularities throughout multiple counties.
And see, this is where the Democrats need the apparatus, because what can they do with this? They can turn around and say, look, statistically it's impossible for, you know, these candidates to make up the losses. Yet here they are making the state taxpayers, Arizona taxpayers, whatever, pay shit ton of money to do a recount. Here's how much you had to pay out in tax dollars for a recount that didn't need to happen, because it's, you know, they could say it's statistically impossible to do a recount and regain whatever ground. This is where Democrats can really say, how conservative is that?
Yeah,
it costs money to do that.
And the news just broke that at 9 p.m. on Tuesday, Julius Geezer has scheduled
a major announcement, a very major announcement. It's going to be a very big announcement live from Mar-a-Lardass.
And you know what, Darlene? I swear, if CNN and MSNBC carry this shit, I'm going to look up and get all temporarily non-binary, and I'm going to say, "Go and get me a peanut butter and banana sandwich in the TV gun. I'm going to shoot the TV." Because why give him the free publicity? Jesus, criminy! It's ridiculous.
Because it's about the horse race. It's about eyeballs on the TV. It's the horse race. Well, okay, so Merrick is on notice. Fucking indict him between now and Tuesday.
Yeah, just, you know, pay a little overtime to the grand jury and get it done.
Get it done. You know, you can message it. You can send him a comment to the DOJ website. So, horn listeners, indict. Write it 1,000 times, like somebody, you know, that's been told, hey, you need, you know, you've been put in the corner in school. You're got the guns cap on. You have to write, you know, I will not, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, hashtag indict
now. Indict is a piece of... Exactly. All right, my friend, thank you so much.
You have a lovely evening, Darlene. Take care.
Take care. Bye.
Bye. And so we come to the end of the program. That was a fantastic conversation. Oh, my God. That's how this is supposed to work. Dan said, I don't think we should be judging Hunter Biden's motivations. My brother died several years ago. Later, another brother dated his widow. At first, I was upset by it, but then I thought about it. They share profound grief. Those raw emotions spark numerous responses. Who are we to question that? Thanks, Dan. Thank you, Christopher. Christopher saved us from a goose egg this evening sent a message saying for the challenges and a fantastic show. Thank you, Christopher. That's just so sweet, so kind. I appreciate that. And I know Darlene does, too. So there's $15 on the Stop Tearing My, Please Don't Tear Down My Blinds Challenge, courtesy of Ralph's. $15 on that. That would get us down to $7.50, which would mean that we would have Friday on the Front Porch at $10.50. And that would be better than $1,100. So, thanks, everybody. Thanks to our PayPal and Patreon subscribers. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all volunteer staff. Thank you to Steve and Roger earlier in the chat room. Thank you so much. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live, brand new fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is headon.live. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Get your booster. Get your flu shot. Be cognizant of countertops. This country is being eaten alive by respiratory syncytial virus right now. And if you've got young little ones around at all, yeah, wipe down those countertops. Keep them sanitized. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Wear your mask when you're out among the great maggot unwashed and unvaxxed. Keep your social distance, you know, 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And if some idiot comes down the sidewalk towards you saying, wait for more news of election irregularities in Michigan and the Ann Arbor clerk needs to be indicted, avoid that maggot like the plague, because she is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.